Jesus. Again, we are so thankful to be in the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody. Come to the most important part of this service to this point. That is the preaching of the word of the Lord. Praise God. My daughter that I love dearly, one of her favorite preachers is Elder Brown. She made sure I knew that. He has a way of spoiling the young people. And he told her, he gave her a hug growing up and said, come here, give me a hug. I want you to know what it's like to be in the arms of a real man. And on the way here tonight, she made sure to let me know, Daddy, you're a good preacher, Daddy. You're a good preacher, Daddy. But sometimes when you're introducing a preacher, it kind of goes long. And I got the hint. Daddy, we came to hear the preaching. Hallelujah. Amen. I know that we've been waiting a while. We're thankful. Pastor Garrett, who I love and honor highly in my life, has said, I would be happy. He said, I would be happy if every year at Oneness Conference, Elder Brown and Elder Stolzfus preached. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I want to say I sure would too. And a whole lot of us, we give honor. Thank God for the word of the Lord we heard last night. Praise God. And the Bible said that we know the story in John, doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas said, when they said, we saw the Lord, he said, unless I put my finger in his hand, I want to see him and I want to touch him, or I don't believe. Amen. But I thank God he cared about doubting Thomas. And Jesus appeared and said, come here, I want to show you something, Thomas. And I want you to touch me. And then he said, you're blessed. I came for you, Thomas, but I want you to know there's going to be a church that have yet to touch my hand yet. And they're yet to see my face. But more blessed are they that have not seen, but yet believe. And I thank God tonight we're not in a place that has been blown by every wind of doctrine. But when Jesus ascended on high and led captivity captive, he gave gifts unto men. How can they believe unless they hear? How can they hear without a preacher? How can he preach except he be sent? Would you stand with us here tonight? Amen. The great I am appeared to Moses and said, I've got a message for you. And with a touch on holy ground and a word and a revelation, he went into Pharaoh's court. The beautiful revelation we have is the only message that will save your soul. Amen. And I'm glad this message has power to deliver. Amen. I'm thankful for Elder Brown. We love so much. Amen. You can't put a price tag on these men of God. And while God allows them to be here before they have their great reward, I want to thank God. Praise God. I wonder right now, we could thank God for the ministry. Thank God for Elder Brown. Thank God for what he's going to do. What you hear tonight is the only saving message. God's going to do something one more time in faith. Why don't we lift our voice to the Lord? Let's give God all the praise and all the glory. Amen. Let's love the Lord tonight.
Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Isn't it great to be in the house of God tonight? Isn't it great to be in our Oneness Conference again? Amen. Amen. When we started this just a couple of years ago, or 3 years ago, we had no idea that it was going to end up like this. But we're glad that you're here. And I think there's a hunger in the Church of Jesus Christ for good old-fashioned doctrinal preaching. Brother Mefford preached one time, then came the orators. Well, we don't need orators. We don't need smooth speech. What we need is the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So we thank you for coming. We're so honored to have our ministering brethren with us. This is an honor. We had no idea this is going to end up like this. And I'm not kidding. But we're glad you're here. And if we have it again next year, and I guess we will, we're going to invite you back. Hallelujah. We need to come together. There's a benefit of strength in coming together, mixing and mingling. Amen. There's a reason why he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He didn't just give one. There's a benefit in the mixing and mingling of ideas and thoughts and concepts and administrations. Amen. So again, it's great to be here. I got my family here tonight. Amen. My sister and my cousin. And these are the two women that run my life. They tell me what to do. They run my wife's life. They run their husband's lives too. Then I got my nephew here, Brother Ryan Condren, pastor's in Dallas, and amen. His wife, a couple of his kids, amen. Good to have, yeah, she does too. I have a great daughter-in-law, beautiful wife, amen. And the cutest grandkids in North America. I'm not backing up an inch. Amen. Standing by my guns. Hallelujah. So, amen. We are, in all seriousness, we are happy for everyone that's here. We're honored. I had a friend of mine come all the way from Indiana. Brother McDonald came all the way from Indiana. And that's after hearing me preach, so that's amazing. He's got a terrible memory, evidently. So, amen. Good to see Brother Foster. Everybody here, we mean it. It's honor. Good to see. It's good to see Brother Garrett here. There's a little undercurrent there, but we won't get into. But it is good to see Brother Garrett here. Amen. He just had a cute little baby. Does everybody know that? Well, his wife had it. You understand what I'm saying. I guess she gets a little of the credit. Amen. So we're just glad for everybody. And if I don't get started, I'm not going to be able to get stopped. So, amen. I need to get started. Amen. We have a great meal prepared for you. And that means I'm in a very difficult place. I'm standing between you and real good food. So that's dangerous. You know what happened to one guy that did that, don't you? He got run over in the gate. He didn't even get to eat that meal. Hallelujah. So I got to be careful tonight. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be reading from Romans chapter number 1, beginning at verse number 16, a great, great verse in the Bible. Romans 1 and 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is the power. The gospel is the power. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the power. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. When you get the truth, you've got a responsibility to live for God. He gave you the greatest message on this earth. You ought to live for it. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God gave us this message so clearly and so understandable that if you're a fool or a wayfaring man, there's no cause to err. I heard a man give a lengthy talk on the Trinity one time. My son was with him. We were driving around Indianapolis. And after 45 minutes of explaining the Trinity, he concluded by saying, if you think you understand it, then you don't. And if you think you don't understand it, then you do. I'm not joking. But this is clearly seen. So clear that you will be without excuse. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm going to start off slow tonight. And I may end up slow. I got bad news. I'm very shaky about this. I'm getting insecure in my old age. Okay, go ahead and laugh. I'm not joking. Getting insecure in my old age. How long are people going to want to hear an 80-year-old man preach? And in 3.5 years, I'm going to be 80. That gives me 3.5 years to preach, I guess. So, anyway, I hope the Lord will help me tonight. I hope I don't have Moses in the lion's den and Daniel building the ark and glory G to Jesus and bad things that can be said. Amen. I want the Lord to help me because I want to be a blessing. Last year, I preached my gizzard out at this place, and I didn't get a dime. Brother Stolzfus got paid. I didn't get a dime. So I'm getting nothing out of this. I'm just trying to be a blessing to you. So I'm so glad you came, and I hope that God will bless you. The Bible tells us in Exodus, the 3rd chapter, that Moses was walking out in the desert. He had escaped from Egypt, been gone for 40 years. And he was walking out in the desert, and he saw a bush that was burning but not being consumed. And he stopped and stood aside to see, what is this phenomena, this strange event that's taking place? And when he got over to the bush, you know the story. A voice came out saying, take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground. And God began to tell him that the cries of my children in Egypt have reached my ears, and I'm going to send you back there to set my people free. This is the start of the famous Exodus that we've all heard about. And Moses, the Bible in another place says he was the meekest man on the earth. He tried to argue with God. He said, can you imagine a voice coming out of a burning bush and you fuss with him about it? Man. And so he said, God, I'm slow of speech and I can't do it. And I just, you know, I'm a wanted man in Egypt. They may kill me when I get back there. I slew an Egyptian to save a Jew. And they may not have forgotten. And what happens if I get there and my own brethren say, who sent you? Ooh, good. Good and loud. Don't touch it. Man, spare my voice. Who sent you? If they ask your name, what shall I say? What shall I say? And God said, God, everybody say God.
God.
God said, I am that I am, has sent you. And that is my name. And the next verse says, that is my name forever. What? His name is I am that I am? That's what he said. Read it for yourself.
I thought it was Jesus. I thought it was Jehovah. I thought it was Yahweh. I thought it was a lot of people besides I am that I am. All right. Well, what muddies the water here is that the Jews read the commandment of God and the Ten Commandments that you shall not take the Lord thy God's name in vain. And they took that commandment and they ran with it. They got to the place where they would not say the name of God. They couldn't really say the name of God. Thought it was sacrilegious to try to say the name of God. Or even allude to the name of God. I got a friend here named Wilkins. He got a haircut the other day and his barber's Jewish. And he quoted to him the Shema. We all can quote that, can't we? Shema Israel Adonai Elohim Adonai Ahad. You can quote that, can't you? That means, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And the barber said, oh, no, you don't say that. You can't quote that. They were so worried about saying the name of God. And they had a lot to worry about because the name of God in the Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi is written out YHWH or YHWH. It's the famous tetragrammaton that we've all heard about. And those were impronounceable consonants. Are you with me tonight?
Yes, sir.
Are you already dozing?
No, sir.
Well, it's going to get worse. Those four-letter consonants that could not be pronounced, was not meant to be pronounced, that nobody ever pronounced. They called him Adonai and Elohim and El Shaddai and all these other names, Lord and God. But if you read the Hebrew, you will see that it's that four-letter consonants there. You find it from Genesis to Revelation 6,000 times in the Old Testament. 6,000 times. That impronounceable name of God. I have read that the only time a Jew could say that name was the high priest on the Day of Atonement. When he went behind the veil, he got back there in private, he could say the name of God. Well, I don't know what he said, because how do you pronounce YHVH? How do you pronounce it? What happened was to that was when the Jews and the Greeks conspired to translate the Old Testament into Greek in Alexandria a couple hundred years before Christ, the famous Septuagint translation of the Bible that translated the Hebrew into Greek. The Greeks added some vowels so we could say that name. That's where we get Jehovah from, is the Greeks that translated YHVH. Yahweh would probably be a closer pronunciation of it. Yahweh. Jesus was Yahshua. Okay? Which means Jehovah is our salvation, or Yahweh is our salvation. It gets complicated. It does. And so, for a lengthy amount of time, the name of God, even if they knew it, they wouldn't say it. And when he said, I am that I am, let me explain something about, I studied this lengthy amount of time. The I am in English is called a verb of equivocation. I am a doctor. That means I and doctor are the same. I am a truck driver. I and truck driver are the same. I am homeless. That I and homeless are equal. It's a verb of equivocation. But the Jews don't see it that way. To them, that phrase I am has almost the semblance of deity. Deity. When Jesus told the Jews before Abraham was, I am, they took up stones. They knew what he was saying. They understood he was claiming to be God. To use I am in Hebrew means you're associating yourself with the Almighty, with the power of God, the glory of God. You understand that? I want you to, because that's where we're going on this. Amen. When he said, I am that I am, he was saying, I'm God. And you can tell him it was me, the ever-present one. Amen. The prime mover, the first cause. That's me. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, that's my name. Well, names are interesting. We're going to get into that in a little while. And so the I am became powerful. When Jesus came along, a few thousand years after this, he used the I am to associate himself with God. He was always saying, I am something. The seven famous I ams of the New Testament, I am the bread of life. But when Jesus used it, he used it as a Jew. He used it in the Hebrew sense. If I were to tell you that I am the bread of life, first of all, you'd think I was a reprobate. You'd think I'm out of my mind. But if we use I am, that if you have, I got some bread, I got two loaves at home. Amen. But Jesus, when he said, I am the bread of life, he meant all that's sustenance, all that's blessed, all that adds to your life, all that blesses, amen, is in that. It was inclusive, amen. He wasn't a part of bread, he was bread itself. He was food itself, he was sustenance itself. He said, I am the light of the world. He didn't have a candle and a flashlight. He was light itself. All that was light was in him. All that was light came through him. Said, you tell him I am. Well, you know, when Jesus said it, it's different than me and you saying it. I am the light of the world. He said, I am the way. You know, he wasn't just one of the choices you can make. He wasn't just whichever highway you want to take. Oh, no. When he said, I am the way, there was the only way there was. Amen. Was in him. The only way you can go is in him. Amen. Jesus said, except you believe that I am he, you die in your sins. There's no second choice. There's no plan B. There's no other way. You can't find another way to be saved because God has incorporated that into himself. I am the way. Plato will tell you that we participate in truth. We participate in beauty. We participate in understanding. It's just, you know, it's there for a while, then it's gone. We gain it, then we lose it. But that's not what Jesus is saying here. Amen. All that is true of the direction of God is found in him. I am the way. He also said, I'm the truth. I'm the truth. He's not a part of the truth. I had somebody tell me that the oneness folks are on the top of the truth mountain, and the Trinitarians are halfway up the side. No, they haven't even found the mountain, honey. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have truth. If you don't have him, you don't have truth. If you don't understand who he is, you don't have truth. He is the way. He is the truth. It's in him. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. Godhead, bodily. We're going to come back to that in a minute. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. You want to know where the Godhead resides? It resides in Jesus Christ. It resides in him. Amen. Amen. And so we have all these I ams. I wrote some down so I don't forget because I'm getting old. Hallelujah. I'm the life, the Bible said. You want to live? Get in Jesus. You want to know what living is? Get in Jesus. I don't care if you're a billionaire and got a yacht from here to the corner. If you don't have God, you don't know what life is. If you don't have Jesus Christ, if you don't have a revelation, you don't know who God is. You want to learn something that ought to send shivers down your spine? You just find out that in God, Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. Hallelujah. That'll do something for you. He is the true vine. And we're the branches. It doesn't say vines either, does it? It says vine. We in him we live and we move and we have our being. In him we live and we move and we have our being. He is the true vine. You know, life would be unimaginable without God. I can't even imagine what it'd be like to be a sinner. I can't even imagine what it'd be like to wake up in the morning with a package of cigarettes next to my bed and a stale can of beer and having to meet the probation officer that afternoon. I don't even know what that's like and don't want to learn. Amen. You find life in him. You find life in him. In him, we find completeness. In him, we find completeness. Ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. I ask God to help me today. Let me glorify you. Let me exalt you. I'm not going to tell anybody how great I am or how great these guys are. I want to talk about him tonight. I want to talk about how wonderful and great and powerful he is. Amen. Life is in him. The true vine, it's in him. Amen. He's the door. He's not a way. He is the way. He's not a door. He's not just one of the choices you can make. Oh, no, he is the door. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. People misunderstand some scriptures in Hebrews where it said, if after you've tasted the heavenly gift and the good things of God and all those things, you fall away, there remaineth no more sacrifice. That doesn't mean you can't pray through if you backslide. That's not what it's saying. What it's saying is that if you are looking for plan B, it doesn't exist. If you're looking for another way, there is not another way. If you're going to have God, you got to come the way he is. Hallelujah. You can't go out in that world and find a substitute. It's not there. Amen. He is the light of the world. And I could go on. There's multitude of those I ams, but they associate us. He associated himself with God through these. Who could say, I'm the light of the world, but God? He thought it not robbery to make himself equal with God. He wasn't pulling a fast one on you when he made himself equal with God. He wasn't trying to deceive the masses when he made himself equal with God. He was God. Hallelujah. He was God. Now, I'm not going to preach very long. Psalms chapter number 1, our scripture reading. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. I had a discussion with this today with somebody. How do you hold the truth in unrighteousness? Well, you can. You can know the truth and not live by it. You can know the truth and not revel in it. You can know the truth and not rejoice in it. There's people sitting on a bar stool today that know the truth. They're holding it in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. What Jesus Christ did when he, now this is going to get a little controversial, so brace yourself. What Jesus Christ did when he came to the earth was he came to be a revelator. Matter of fact, there's a whole book in the New Testament called The Revelation of Jesus Christ. He came to reveal. You remember that name that no man could name, that name that nobody could say? He came to open the door. He came to knock down the barriers, the divisions. He came to let us see and know who he is. You know this idea that you that there's doctrine like the Trinity that's so deep that your little mind can't. You know, why would God make something unknowable? That's not the way he wanted to do this. He wanted to make it where we would know him in the fullness of his power and the fellowship of his suffering. He came that we might know him. So Jesus was a revelator. And Brother Mefford always used a great analogy that I'll borrow from tonight. He said, Jesus was the prism. The light coming out of those lights have all kind of colors mixed in. There's reds and greens and blues. But you can't see them because your eye is not made to differentiate between the colors coming out of them. I'm not joking. But if you put a prism up there, it breaks that same light down into the rainbow, to the spectrum. The blues and greens and reds and orange, and finally the reds on the other end. And it breaks down what you could not see before. Now you can see. What you couldn't discern before. Now it's clearly, it's right there in front of you. Look at that. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, the rainbow's beautiful, isn't it? So is Jesus Christ when you see who he really is. Amen. When you really see, this becomes beautiful. This is not some stale wandering about in doctrine. Oh no, this is beautiful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so Jesus came to bring us revelation so we would know him. He brought revelation by saying things like, it hath been said by them of old time, but I say unto you. I'm changing it. I'm usually upping the bar, usually making it a little stricter. Amen. And so he came that we might know God, that we might understand him, that we might come close to God, that we wouldn't have to be very far. You know, for thousands of years, God was hidden behind a veil. One man, one day out of the year, got to go behind there. One man, one day out of the year, all the rest of your world was excluded. You couldn't see, you didn't know, you had to take his word for it. Amen. And so, Jesus Christ came to break down the barriers of division that stood between God and his man that he had made in the garden, that had separated himself by sin. He came to bring a reapproachment. Amen. The first man, Adam, was of the earth. The second man, Adam, was the Lord of glory. He came to break down that barrier. And so, when he died, now stay with me on this.
Oh, yeah.
When he died and said, it's finished, the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. And that, I told you he was going to end up slow. And that veil was his flesh. His flesh opened the door. The death of his flesh on the cross opened the door. The death of his flesh on the cross tore down the divisions.
Yes.
Paul said it. He said he nailed those ordinances to the cross. That worked against us. That condemned us. You know, the law, all it did was make you a sinner. You couldn't get saved in the law. Nobody could abide by the law. We didn't have the self-control. Amen. So what the law did was make us wrong. And justified God in condemning us. Jesus Christ came along and he nailed those ordinances to the cross. Hallelujah. I'm not dependent on my flesh anymore to obey God. Amen. Now I've got the Holy Ghost to help me. I've got the power of God. I've got a good church to go to. I got a good pastor to help me. Now, I want to introduce you to something that I hope you'll help me understand. I want you to get this. I read the other day where a great scientist said that if travelers in interstellar space, now you've got to use your imagination here, if travelers in interstellar space found a man floating out in the cosmos, a man, and they pulled him into their spaceship, he'd be dead, of course. And they looked him over, they could understand a lot about the world he came from because of the way he was made. True. It's true. If he had muscles and a skeleton, which we all do, it suggests that he lived in a world of gravity. You don't need muscles and a skeleton if you're weightless. Our astronauts, when they come home, they're weak. Sometimes have to be taken home in a wheelchair because in space, because they have nothing to push against, their muscles atrophy. So you could look at the muscular development of a man, and if you're a good enough scientist, you could tell even how strong the gravity was. You could look at his eye and see the light spectrum that they would accumulate, and you could know what the light was like. In his world, you would know that if he had lungs, he lived in a world with an atmosphere. Checked his blood. If it had carried oxygen, he ran on oxygen like we all do. You could learn so much. Now, you're going to have to stay with me on this because I'm about to get out in left field. So just stay with me. You could learn so much about the world he came from. And the scientist said that if you live in a certain environment, you've got to reflect that environment. Your body has got to reflect that environment. That's why we can't go to Jupiter and survive. It's not the right environment. I don't know that we can go to Mars even, which is the closest one. We couldn't survive long. They don't have enough oxygen. But, you know, we have to, you know, this world has to be made right for us to survive. They would know that wherever he came from, they had liquid water. You say, big deal. No, it is a big deal. If you don't have liquid water, you cannot have life as we know it. So we have the fortune. No, it's not. It's the grand design is what it is, to live on a planet that's close enough to the sun to be warm, but not so far away that water freezes. We got liquid water, and that's what's running in your veins right now. Without liquid water, life as we know it would be impossible. So God put us just the right distance away so we could have liquid water. You say, that's not important. It's a cornerstone of our life. Ain't nothing more important than liquid water. And that sounds crazy, but there you are. They could tell so much about the world they came from by their physical attributes. They could tell that we had too much to eat even, see? An abundance of food, hallelujah. It's my brother-in-law. I can make fun of him if I want to. He can't outrun me, and he used to be able to whip me, but he can't do it anymore. So he might try, though. He might sick his sister or his wife on me. I sure don't want that. God, help me. She beat and whipped on me every day till I was about 12. So you can tell so much about the world somebody lived in by their appearance, by their physical body, their attributes. You know, you ought to be able to look at a Christian and be able to tell a whole lot about the church they go to. Now, this ain't got anything to do with oneness, but I just couldn't resist. So you ought to be able to see somebody that's a child of God and know what kind of church they go to. No nicotine stains on their fingers. No needle marks running up down their arms. Not a bunch of goofy tattoos on them. No booze on their breath. Eyes not bloodshot from looking at things they shouldn't be looking at. You ought to be able to look at somebody and say, boy, they must go to a good oneness apostolic holiness church. Hallelujah. Look how good they look. Amen. He looks like a Christian. You know, that's what we're supposed to do. Let your light so shine among men that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. Not glorify you, but your Father in heaven. Give me another 5 minutes on this. It said
For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they were without excuse. What did God make so much like him that you could take a look and say, I know what God's like. I know what God's like. I know what he's like. Amen. Brother Austin Garrett, stand up. I need to use you for a guinea pig. Don't misunderstand that. Are you a son?
Yes, sir.
I know you are. I know your dad and your mother and your sisters. Are you a father?
Yes, sir.
You are now. I've seen that cute little boy. Yeah. Amen. Are you a husband?
I am.
Those two should go together, by the way. Amen. Yeah. Are you a help in the church, a pastor? I don't know what your title is. Assistant, what is it? Something. Knowing your dad, you better be glad he let you stay. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Hey, you.
Are you a child of God?
Yes, sir.
Are you a citizen of the state of Arizona, in the United States? Are you a car owner?
Yes, sir.
He's all of these things, but it's just him. We don't have a son here and a father over here and a husband over here. He said you can know God so clearly and so absolutely and so certainly that nobody's going to be able to say I didn't know and I couldn't know and it was just beyond my ability. My poor little brain couldn't handle. Oh, no, 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 no. Amen. You ought to be able to know what God looks like every time you look in the mirror. There's only one God. There's only one. Amen. He overshadowed the Virgin Mary and a child was born. And that boy was the greatest thing that's ever happened in the history of the world. Amen. The incarnation. The incarnation. God. God came in the flesh. God came in the flesh. Hallelujah. God. In the flesh. And that is the greatest revelation. Now stay with me. Just give me another 5 minutes. Hallelujah. Stay with me on this. The revelation of Jesus Christ is not his name. If you live in Greece, they call him Jesus. If you live in France, they call him Jesus. If you live in Mexico, he's Jesus. If you live in the United States, it's Jesus too now, but anyway. Somebody asked me one time, will you baptize somebody in the nombre de Jesus Christ? I said, absolutely. Because the name... As long as you're associated, as long as the name is associated with that child was born of the Virgin Mary, that's what counts. There's a doctrine in the world that teaches that you have to be baptized in the name of Yeshua to be saved, which means none of you are saved, including me. And none of you are that I know of. Because Brother Terry didn't say in the name of Yeshua. He said in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
When he baptized me. The revelation. Listen to me. Don't get sidetracked by these little wandering little nonsensical things. The revelation is Jesus. If you know Jesus was the Son of God, you got the revelation. If you know Jesus Christ was the flesh of God, you got the revelation. If you know Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh, you got the revelation. Hallelujah. God exalted the name. The name didn't exalt God. God lifted up the name. The name didn't lift up God. God made it a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee would bow and every tongue would confess. It's great because it's associated with that baby that was born of the Virgin Mary. Jesus is the same as Joshua. It's the same as Yahshua. It's the same as Jehoshua. It's the same as Hosea. Exactly the same name. Pronounced the same way. And I'm not downgrading the name of Jesus. I'm exalting. You get God. You get a revelation. And you'll love the name of Jesus. But there are a lot of folks that know the name of Jesus that don't love God. Because they don't have a revelation. They don't understand how great and powerful this is. Amen. It's Him that's great. It's Him that's great. It's God that's great. Amen. And when we know Him, when we know Him, when that veil in the temple was rent, a new way came. It took a while to implement it. It took a while to get the church going in the right direction. Some never did. You understand, the Jews just added Christianity on the top of the law of Moses. Just another level of religiosity. That's why they failed. That's why their leadership waned. That's why, especially when Titus and the 10th Roman Legion destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD, the functionality of the Jewish Christian church was basically gone. Because they wanted to hold on to the law of Moses. And a new day had come. When that veil in the temple was rent, a new day had come. A new way, a new doctrine, a new teaching. And the Jews couldn't get it. The Gentiles could, because they didn't have that to fight with. I mean, they were always going to those Gentile churches and telling them, you got to be circumcised to be saved. Well, if circumcision would have saved you, why'd Jesus die on the cross? Didn't Paul ask that question? I think he did. Amen. So they couldn't accept the new way, and it destroyed them. The revival came in the Gentile world, and I'm not reveling in that. I know people today that are Jewish that are saved, but as a movement, as a power, as leadership, it's gone. It was gone because they wanted to stay with the law of Moses. They chose then Moses over Jesus. They're still choosing Moses over Jesus. They still are. Amen. When you don't have Jesus, you don't have the revelation of Jesus Christ. And there's nothing greater than to know who Jesus is. There's nothing in this world of greater knowledge. Would you stand with me tonight? There's nothing of greater revelation than who Jesus Christ is. There's no truth, no knowledge that can supersede that. If you know the cure to cancer today, it don't compare to knowing who Jesus Christ is. Amen. All cancer, saving you from cancer is just going to postpone the inevitable. But you know who Jesus is, and you go to heaven forever. Hallelujah. You go to heaven. Hallelujah. He came into His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name. I'm a believer tonight. I'm a believer. Are you a believer? What a wonderful thing it is if you can say, I'm a believer. Would you worship God with me tonight? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you're a visitor tonight, don't have the Holy Ghost, not part of the church, you may not know what you fell into tonight, but what you jumped into was a pool full of folks, amen, that believe the message, that believe the gospel. And there's nothing greater, more exciting. Amen. If you're here tonight, this would be a great time to get the Holy Ghost. Get baptized in the name of Jesus. Matter of fact, let's pray right now that God would speak to hearts.